Leafy greens, watery blues, and so-called ethnic reds are the hot colors this year. That's the word from the Color Marketing Group, which every year forecasts the colors that are likely to be popular with consumers. Not that long ago, many cultures had only a few words to describe color. This week on Science Out of the Box, we asked NPR's David Malakoff to look at the words we use for color and how they've evolved over time.
My dining room really needs a paint job. But I've got to admit, when I went to the paint store to look at colors, it was a little overwhelming.
Toes in the sand, milkshake, copper moon, peach, beach. Who comes up with these dang names? Lined with lilacs.
Brent Landreth Sunday manages Earth, the McCormick Paint Store in Alexandria, Virginia. Peach, he says he has a palette of more than 1,000 shades.
We can match all of our colors and most of our competitors' colors.
At the back of the store, Brent's colleagues are helping a customer. He wants to replicate a milky beige paint. It looks just like something you drink at Starbucks.
Well, the color's called chai, C-H-I.
Sam Crandall was trying to mix up just one can of the perfect match.
This is a tweener color. This is between like a reddish and green. It's, you know, it's a muted color. And they're usually harder to do, but...
He was right. He tried one tint and then another, but it still wasn't right. But at least Sam Crandall does have a lot of color words to help him do his job. Imagine if Sam had just two basic words to describe all the colors in his store. Paul Kay, a linguist in Berkeley, California, says, actually, that is all that some languages have.
One term includes black and the cool colors, basically black, green, and blue. The other includes white and the warm colors. That's basically white, red, and yellow. One of those two words to indicate the color of anything.
Kay says most of those languages were spoken by isolated tribes. They didn't write things down, and many of those tribes are now extinct. But there are still some living languages that don't have many words for color. Researchers have been studying them since the 1970s, in part through something called the World Color Survey. Basically, researchers went to some really out-of-the-way places carrying a cardboard rectangle. On it were 320 color chips. Then the researchers asked people a question that went something like this.
I'm going to show you a sampling of all the colors, and I want you to use the smallest number of words that you can to name them.
All in all, they surveyed about 2,600 people. They spoke more than 100 languages. And the researchers discovered that a lot of languages use just three or maybe four basic color words. And there are a few, like English, that have 10 or more common terms to describe color. Now, like me, the guys at the paint store found the World Color Survey pretty interesting. But it wasn't helping Sam Crandall whip up his chai. After half an hour, he was still tinkering.
Still got to yellow that bad boy up. Come on, Sam. Come on, Sam.
It turns out that cultures have tinkered, too, with the language of color. Researchers speculate that older languages tend to lump colors together. Newer ones, they tend to split them up. For instance, a lot of languages don't distinguish between green and blue. Researchers call them the GRU languages. But over time, it appears that GRU languages have evolved words to distinguish between green and blue, and Paul Kay says that kind of splintering often kept going.
After this, usually after this, you start to name purple and brown and then pink, orange, and gray.
Kay says there's probably no single explanation for why languages evolve this way, but he thinks material wealth may play a role.
Languages spoken by peoples with lots and lots of things tend to have lots and lots of words. Because, you know, you have to have words for all those things. Electricians couldn't function if they couldn't talk about the colors of wires and so on.
The demands of modern life, he says, forced the language of color to evolve.
Coral cloud,
and make no mistake,
ivory, hot,
it has evolved.
Fire, orange you glad, orange nectar, mango tango, and fancy Nancy. And that's just one page.
And Sam Crandall's quest to make the perfect chai? Nearly an hour after starting, he uses some hot air to dry a dab of his latest concoction.
And there we have the color, folks. Finally, but correctly. Chai, chai, chai.
David Malikoff, NPR News.